Okay, and welcome back, hour number two. As we move into this week, the middle of January already, we see trends, we see things happening. This whole horror, this unbelievable, truly science fiction horror that has been put on all of us on this planet is just getting worse. It's not getting better. And we began talking some time ago about shedding, and we've been monitoring that very, very closely. And it looks at this point as if it's getting worse. Why? Because more and more people who have been shed upon are now dying. They're dead. They didn't get vaxxed. They've just been around the vaxxed, and they're dead. So we'll talk more about that. Erica, welcome back. Did you have a fun, wonderful weekend?
Oh, yes.
Well, happy Valentine's Day.
Well, we're not quite there yet.
Oh.
We're a month away from that.
Oh.
But we've got snow here for the first time.
How much?
A couple inches. Just enough to make things difficult.
Make everything pretty. Come on.
Okay, pretty.
It's like being in a cabin in the woods when it's snowing outside through the glass.
Right. Until you have to go out in.
That's true. Okay. We have spent some time with one individual who trusted his government, trusted his professional health industry. He trusted the media, and he took the shot, or shots. And he has been, for the last, what is it, since last February? I think that's when he got sick first, last February. It's coming up on a year. He's been going downhill ever since. We did read several posts that he put on his site. He has posted one more that may be the last one, and it is in the headlines, which should be up there momentarily, if they're not up there right now. But it's entitled Despair, Goodbye from a Vax-Murdered Human Being Who Was Forsaken by All. And it's quite a read. We don't know how many there are just like this gentleman, or young woman, older woman, who knows? People are going down rapidly, and no one has a voice for them, on behalf of them, because they have no platform. So you never hear about it. They just die. This guy at least was able to chronicle this horrible descent into physiological decay and disintegration, which he is now facing very bravely at the last hour. And he did post one more, and I thought we might want to update you on that, because I'm sure many of you listening were moved by that, and it was a very difficult thing to actually present. But it's so critically important to honor the people who have no voice in this. None. So let's go ahead and read that. You want to start with that?
Sure.
All right.
His name is Mike. I believe he lives in Michigan. And his Facebook page is open to all to read about his saga. And it is very moving. And I do think it's representative of many, many people out there who took the bioweapon injection under false pretenses, believing they were doing something beneficial for themselves and others, and were surprised when things kind of went off the rails. And now they're left to flounder. And sometimes, you know, their families either don't believe them.
They're left to die is what's happening.
Essentially, yes. I mean, the medical system is not of much help in many cases. They're gaslit and told that they're suffering from anxiety. They're given sedatives and painkillers and
SSRIs
antidepressants.
And all kinds of fun things.
Right.
Yeah. I want to say one thing real quick before you start. This man did what billions of others have done. They have trusted their governments, their media, their friends and their own health industries. And they have taken what in all likelihood for many of them, whether it takes 1 year or 7 years, which is the current odds-on favorite spread, a fatal shot, or a fatal shot or two, or five, or six, and we're moving towards seven. So this is not something local, but the death of one person is a tragedy, as Joe Stalin said. The death of a million is a statistic, and we try to bring the tragedy forward by illustrating individual cases. Go ahead.
Okay, Mike writes, "Goodbye, all. Please don't let anyone erase me or my story. I swear to God, it is all true. Save it. Share my music if you want. Remember me. I was a human being. I wasn't perfect, but I did my best. No one deserves to die like this, worse than a stray animal, without any reprieve or compassionate way out offered. My nerves are dead and dying, melted away, and so the muscle tissue they are supposed to supply with signaling also decayed away and cannot be brought back. My digestion is stopped because of it, and multiple organs are slowly failing. It's just a matter of what technically will kill me first now. And still, the medical community will not treat it as an emergency. I was still discharged with no emergency transfer to a bigger hospital and no assistance in the matter just a few days ago, with all of this information clear from labs and imaging. Read my story. Save it, so no one can just erase me or my truth when I am gone. May those who did this to myself and to the world pay their proper price. I apologize to everyone who loved me in life. I wish things could have turned out differently. I apologize to myself for ever trusting the doctors in my family and the medical advice that ended up murdering me. Every part of me that isn't trembling from nerve damage and weakness is aching, and vice versa. I have nothing left to give, nothing. I will lie here until someone has a plan to transport me to my final stop, whatever hospital and hospice that ends up being. I deeply appreciate everyone who tried to help me, whether it be with prayers and well wishes or suggestions for various treatments. Unfortunately, you cannot beat rapid progressive neurogenic disease and decline. It is impossible in an unavoidable death sentence. So, goodbye, all. Please try and be good to one another. Please try and steer this world back towards honesty and justice. Please pray that this takes me quick and with as little pain and horror as can be avoided, if you will. Make what happened to me and so many others matter for something. Learn from it. Teach with it. Don't let it ever happen again. With all my love, Mike."
Now again, Mike, without even saying it, is speaking on behalf of billions of other people who are going to be down the same dark, lonely road to their end. Sooner, we're all going to die, but sooner than they should have. This hastening of death is called genocide. And I mean, this is unprecedented in the known history of this planet. And will it happen again? Nah. Not this time around, but if civilization somehow recovers in the distant future, 100,000 years from now, a million years from now, it could happen again. If the same mentality is involved, whoever is behind this does not care one iota about morality, about feelings, about kindness, about love. No, we're nothing to them. We are nothing but digits in a computer somewhere. That's all it is. We're stopped.
There's virtually no outrage from really anybody. I don't know the doctors who are seeing these types of patients. They just.
I'm not seeing one story about it. I'm not hearing one tale about it. No one has ever talked to me about a doctor being enraged about it when they've mentioned this vaccine issue and the doctors.
No.
Never. Nothing.
And so it continues, and it's this has become acceptable. Just run a bunch of tests, throw your hands up, and write them a prescription for antidepressants and send them on their way.
Run a bunch of tests, make a lot of money, write them a prescription for antidepressants and send them
on
their way.
That's the formula. Right.
How clever, how evil, how abjectly, satanically evil to get rich on a genocide operation. Think about that. They planned all this.
Well, there's a whole economy involved now.
Big business.
It's an economy unto itself.
Big business. The genocide economy. Now, we, in a couple of weeks, are starting our third year trying to help everyone understand what we are trying to understand also, to a degree, and we don't have all the answers by any means. Do we present it all on the program? No. Some of it's just too complicated, and it would go over people's heads. They're busy. They don't. It's too hard. But the general direction that we have charted for 2 years has been, and I will say this with all humility, virtually spot on. I don't think we've missed anything of any consequence. Not yet. We've called out the frauds. We've called out the phonies. And believe it, most everyone who is speaking, there are exceptions, and you'll have to go with your instincts on this. Most everyone who is speaking in the alt-news community about this, who has any kind of celebrity, is a fraud. Most of them. Not all. I didn't say all. But you have to understand you are being completely controlled and manipulated by a game plan that was thought out with computers, other countries involved, and perhaps off-planet intelligence is involved. We don't know. But this thing does have the potential to be an unrecallable catastrophe and to turn into an ELE. It is possible, because now we're seeing people who are simply exposed to the vax dying. What does that tell you? Should tell you a lot.
It's obvious. Yeah. And, you know, it isn't just people. It's their pets. And I don't know how much wildlife. I have heard reports that wildlife that live in proximity to some of these bigger cities and towns are also showing signs of sickness, you know, so they are exposed to, people
the same
trash.
Spike protein. If they have warm blood circulating in their system and blood cells to help fight off disease in their little bodies, whoever they are, they're certainly possibly open to the same catastrophe of the S protein.
And they're finding viral segments in sewers, and so, you know, this thing just doesn't go away. I mean, they've introduced a gene, an artificial gene, into a population that is now recombining and assimilating into other organisms' genomes. We have no idea what this is going to do with bees, all kinds of wildlife.
About bees, if any of you saw the story about a vax for bees, and jump to the wrong conclusion, at least initially the wrong conclusion. It's not about mRNA spike protein kinds of vaxes. It's about something called brood something. It has to do with the hive. It's a bacteria that invades the hive and kills it off for the most part. And that's what this particular bee vaccine is about. It's not about COVID. Not yet. But give them time.
Well, this is just going to spawn ever more diseases, because now every organism has to adjust to dealing with this gene that produces a noxious protein.
It's true. You know, I was thinking back on 2 years, and what have we missed covering on this program? We're now to the XBB subvariant. That's the latest thing, which we will be covering. We've waded through this with all of you, and we've done it all together. We've gotten some wonderful email from people, some complimentary, some carping and complaining, but we've done it, and you've done it, and I don't know where else you're going to go on the media platform to find the information that we've tried to put together. And I'm not blowing any horns here. I'm just saying it's not easy. They aren't telling us anything. But if you'll notice, and here's the point of what I'm saying, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, 5 weeks, a lot of major truths about this thing have been allowed to come out. You're finding them on the major alt platforms. Why is that? Why did they let it out all of a sudden? Why did they admit that this, that, or the other thing is true and that it is dangerous and it should be discontinued, et cetera, et cetera? Well, it's because simply they've already achieved their goal. They don't care.
Yeah, I would agree. The fuse is lit, and now we just wait. And maybe, you know, tweak it every now and then, step on the gas a little or pull back. But the fuse is lit.
And fuses have varying lengths. It's some people are suggesting now that only one out of 40,000 people who have been injected with a viable vaccine will be alive at the end of 7 years. Somebody's on a 7-year label on that. Allegedly came from DOD. I can't point to the specific document, but that's what we're seeing. That means 2 years since the beginning of these injections has now passed. That would leave 5 years, if that 7-year thing is right. But it has to do with fuse length and the amount of time that each individual has after having taken this shot. But now we have to factor in, what if passive injection, passive vaccination is true? And it is.
There's ample evidence to
indicate that. We have enough data
now.
You have that one story that
Let me see.
The woman whose husband got injected, and I don't know if he told her or not, that wasn't the point. The point is she continued living their normal family life as they did, husband and wife. I don't know if they have kids or not.
I don't know if I have that one. Hang on. Too many windows open here. Well, we did have the one, was it the other day? We have some readers in there that
yes, we're ready to go with those.
Suggested of that, but I'm reading more and more posts of unvaxxed people becoming seriously ill and in some cases dying after being around the vax. And these are unvaxxed people who were being relatively cautious, taking precautions when they're around the vax, trying to do what they can in terms of supplementing and added protection, and it still got them. And now, you know, we're not able to distinguish at this point what is from shedding and what is from the actual virus versus what is from the mRNA. It could be any or all of the above.
Right.
There may be a unique susceptibility for people who had previously been infected with the SARS-CoV-2 virus, i.e. COVID, and then a subsequent exposure to the spike or a different variant of the virus just puts them over the edge. That theory is being floated around now. That if you've had it once, do not assume that you have immunity. Assume the opposite. You're actually, the second time around, is going to be worse.
Well, and the other issue is, you're infected with the virus, and you get over it. Do you really fully get over it?
We don't know that.
There's
indications,
latent?
At least in a third of people, for sure, that they're chronically infected for a good long time, several months, maybe a couple years, maybe forever. I mean, this is still in progress.
84 different types of body cells are hit up
by
the
in one of the autopsies, or maybe more than one, they've determined that the spike protein, or not the virus itself, sorry, is capable of infecting at least 84 different organs and tissues. And this thing can go everywhere and infect those organs.
Body cell types, think about it. And when you get better after you've been sick, how many who have had this virus end up with that COVID cough. And it lasts for months in some cases. So are you really
well,
over
what
it?
Is it? What is a cough? Is it just trying to throw off the remnants of the virus? Or is it some bacterial infection? Or is it blood clots? Or is it cancer?
These are just some of the things that we spend a lot of time on trying to understand and assay and then present so you can consider them. And I know it gets to be overwhelming for some of you, and us too. It's a lot. It's an awful lot. And this was all planned. Just don't ever forget that. Nothing was left to chance. But
yeah.
You notice that they're letting it out now that, yes, the DOD and the Pentagon are behind this, and you got people like Karen Kingston out there blowing the horn, trying to
it's funny.
Tell us the truth. Well, this is the truth, but in that it's being let out now, that's the story. Why is it being let out? I've just explained that a couple of minutes ago, and that's the truth. They've got it. They think that it's done.
Yeah. They got their number, whatever that number is, 70%.
Yeah. And that brings us to maybe the most uncomfortable thing that we have to say, and we've never liked saying this, but the vaxxed have got to stay away from the unvaxxed and vice versa. If the unvaxxed don't protect themselves from the vaxxed and their AIDS conditions, which can throw any kind of a pathogen off, what's the future? What is the future? The future right now is the unvaxxed. They must be protected. They have to protect themselves. That doesn't mean to be in any way mean or hostile or negative towards someone who's taken these shots. Compassion is the rule of the day. But informed, intelligent, wise compassion. You cannot put yourself in jeopardy. Because the unvaxxed really are the future right now. If all this is playing out correctly as we see it, and I have no reason to think it's not, the unvaxxed are the future. And they must minimize their exposure to the vaxxed.
I know some are aware of that, but probably the vast majority aren't, sadly.
No. I mean, it sounds like a Hollywood movie.
It does, I know.
So, all of you out there, just keep in mind, whatever your status, we're behind you. We're here to help in any way we can, but we must repeat this. If you're unvaxxed, there are blood banks now for unvaxxed blood. You're beginning to see the obvious blatant truth that the unvaxxed are right now the future. They are the future. The vaxxed are going
left.
To be ill. They're going to be injured. They're sick. They're not functional anymore. They've been changed psychologically. We've talked about that at some length. They've been certainly changed physiologically. Look under our names and guests here. Let me see something. I want to go to this story. I think it's up there now. Hold on. Okay, Erica found this earlier, and I had it put on a page. So if you look under our names, it says, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Well, here's some pictures of a vaxxed victim, all right? I got my COVID-19 vaccine, she says. And take a look. These pictures are of her in the bathtub. Look at her legs. What do you see? Look at her face, her cheeks. What do you see? This poor young woman is struggling against enormous odds right now. And it can happen to anyone. It does happen to anyone. But we're really worried about the simple fact that it may happen to the unvaxxed en masse, unless the unvaxxed wakes up.
Yeah,
you
can't assume because you didn't get the shot that you're in the clear, unfortunately.
No.
You know, these people are exuding, emitting, at the very least, spike protein. That's what they've been coded or genetically modified to produce now. And it comes out of, well, the Japanese found it in the deceased's skin. When he stained it for spike, it was all lit up with spike protein.
Right.
So it's on their skin.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, we have data to underwrite the other half of the terrible two, the spike protein and the mRNA.
Yeah.
That's being shed as well. Now, that's the killer of the two, probably, unless you were. All right, you've got two ways to look at this. Repeated exposure to spike proteins day in and day out at the office, Monday through Friday, month after month, or you're married and your spouse is shot up and you're not. You're constantly being repeatedly exposed to spike protein, which goes into your system and begins to do the things that we know the spike protein does. But if you're unfortunate enough to pick up the mRNA, then it goes into your body, it transfects cells, and orders those cells to begin to produce spike proteins in your body. Ergo, you are vaxxed.
Yes.
You are vaxxed. If you are picking up mRNA in addition to spike from the vaxxed, you are in big trouble.
Yeah, and that may be what's happening with some of these people that are dying after exposure to the vaxxed. You know, the vax seem to be able to, if they survive the first couple of weeks, generate an antibody response that neutralizes the spike proteins that they're producing internally. However, things are still leaving through their, you know, various bodily fluids and oils on their skin and entering into the environment, just like, you know, the allergenic proteins that a cat produces that people become allergic to. The protein is in the cat's saliva. The cat licks its fur, deposits that protein on the fur, and when it dries, it becomes aerosolized. And people that are allergic to that protein can detect it. It manifests as runny eyes, hay fever-like symptoms, because, you know, they're allergic to it. And you don't have to see it. You don't even have to see the cat. But if the cat had been in that environment and you're sensitive to that protein, you're going to react to it. So the spike protein is coming out of these people in through various ways, breath, sweat, bodily fluids. But they themselves are, it seems, for a period of time, somewhat immune to it because they're generating antibodies against it, most of it internally. But for the unvaxxed, they've got no protection, and they're going to react to it right away, just like, well, not unlike the poison dart frog.
Now, this is a classic example that you found, and you never cease to amaze me with this. This is a perfect overlay. Look at how this works. Go ahead. This is interesting.
Well, yeah, so we've covered this before. The poison dart frog is a frog that's indigenous to Colombia, South America. And the native peoples there would capture these frogs because they knew they had a very lethal toxin. These frogs produce a toxin that can kill a 150-pound adult within minutes if that poison is injected. So these natives would hunt this frog or capture this frog, and then they would torture this frog in some way, stress it. And when this frog was stressed, it would leach this poison through its skin. And they would collect the poison, and then they'd put it on the end of a dart. And when they hurled that dart at their prey, it would drop the prey dead instantly. It was that lethal. It is that lethal. But the frog itself is immune to its own toxin. And the reason is because they produce an antibody or an antidote to it at the same time that it's producing it. So you can make that analogy somewhat to people who are vaxxed. You know, they may appear to be fine, and maybe they are fine for a time, as long as their immune system is capable of neutralizing this toxin they're producing. And yet they can exude it through their skin or breath or saliva, whatever bodily fluids,
and
poison other people.
Correct. And remember, when a lot of vax people are in an enclosed room or shop or market, the spike proteins that are being emitted and released from them stay behind. They're on horizontal surfaces. They're floating in the air primarily. They're just little proteins, not a problem.
Yeah, they're proteins.
And when you hear this cough, and you'll hear it, it's a COVID cough, and it can last for months. Every time they cough, they are emitting spike.
Mm.
If they've been injected, that's what their body's producing. Cough, and out it comes.
Yeah. Yep.
Anyhow. All right. Let's go on to our human side of the... Well, we've been doing that pretty much the whole program, but let's go back to some of these readers here, which we didn't get to last time.
Okay. Should we go to, let's see, 11th of January?
Sure.
All right.
Dating choices. Died while sleeping. Disbeliever. We got... Erica puts these together.
All right, how about
so
heart
shedding.
Issues?
We got shedding. Shedding. Say again?
How about heart issues? Heart issues from shedding?
Very good.
Eyes burning?
Yeah, heart issues from shedding. That would start there. Okay, let me see if I got this. Right under fainting. Okay. Hello, has anyone identified heart problems associated with shedding? Two of my children and myself have suffered severe chest pain, including pain in the jaw, on a number of occasions, but have not attended hospital. My children are fit and healthy, which is unusual for them to be suffering the same symptoms. None of us are vaccinated, so I wondered whether this could be caused by shedders. And the first discussion answer says, it's true. My fast memory goes to a guy, 26-ish, from the UK who had pericarditis. He played football with vaxxed teammates. He was in this group.
This person replies, thank you. I had put it down to the shedders. So for three of us in this family to suffer with severe chest pain, then it must be down to the spike proteins and the airborne mRNA. Is there anything natural that we can take to try to flush this out of our bodies?
Another answer to that response. Can the pain in the jaw maybe be swollen lymph nodes that are located under the jaw? I get that regularly from exposure to jabbers, and I also get nerve inflammation in my face. Are you detoxing?
And she answers, we have a Spooky 2 machine and have been detoxing on that. We also use chlorine dioxide, but the pains in the chest and going into the jaw is a sign of a heart attack. And both my son and daughter have had this twice now. Oh, both my son, myself, my son and my daughter have had this twice now. It is quite unnerving knowing that we are suffering the brunt of those who have had the jabber shedding when we have decided not to have it.
And the final comment in this thread, the trouble is we don't know who has had the jab and who hasn't, especially when you have to go into work and going shopping. We are having the same adverse reactions when we haven't even had the jab. So here we go again. Exposure via shedding, passive inoculation, passive vaccination. It's the same. And if you pick up mRNA along with a spike, you've got the factory in your system to potentially produce spike proteins for a long time. And we don't know for sure if the mRNA can replicate. We know the spike cannot. It can be built, but it can't replicate itself. But the mRNA, that's another issue. And I think...
Well,
it's
looking like if we go to that... study that was completed on the finding the mRNA in breast milk.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an affirmative. They did find, I think this was Pfizer Moderna that these women had taken, the mRNA, exact copies of it, was found in exosomes
See,
in breast milk.
I knew, I said to myself, and I said to Eric, I said, if you're building something like this, why wouldn't you make the mRNA a replicatable engine of destruction, which they have.
Intentional or not, that is happening.
So you, this is not just say, oh, I get a few spike proteins, I can beat that. Yeah, you can. You can, sure. You don't necessarily get a few spike proteins in the supermarket and end up dead. That's a one-off situation for the most part, once a week, whatever. But if you get the mRNA, remember, for you newcomers, that's the part that goes into your body, transfects one of your cells, wherever it happens to be, and sets up shop and orders that cell, your body, to produce nothing but spike proteins. And we're talking about a lot of spike proteins. So you've got to take shedding seriously. You've got to, we recommend masks. No, they're not perfect. No, they may not give you more than a 10% edge, but take it. I think you're going to see a lot more serious masking very soon now among the unvaxxed. I have one, and I'm just about ready to start wearing it. It's called, they have P100 filters. P100. 3M. 3M makes them. Okay, we got some more shedding stories. If you want to go to those.
How about shedding nightmares?
Perfect. Go ahead.
Okay. I am avoiding jabbed as much as I can. My shedding symptoms are so severe. If I meet jabbed friends or family members, I need to pay that back days or weeks with my health. Always something. I'm not sure that detox helps. I am an RN, but I don't work as an RM at the moment because of this COVID crap. And anyway, I wouldn't be able to touch vax patients. If the vax touch me, I get burning sensations all over my body.
Wow.
But what I tried to say, the damage it has done, and not sure is the detox too late if you didn't start it at the beginning. I hope it is a cure for this. But according to what I looked at in the medical fields, if this jab, most of the vaxxed heart damage, and many doesn't even show symptoms first, one is sudden death for many. Before this COVID, myocarditis was really hard to diagnose, and most people only had flu-like symptoms. Many times we started to check for myocarditis if the patient had the flu, that just didn't heal. So I am scared of the future. Some studies show up that only small amount of lipid nanoparticles will damage your heart. I hope these bad scenarios is not going to come through, but we all need to be ready mentally for that too. I really hope your parents got a placebo. Remember, placebo haven't been saline. This is English as a second language.
You're doing a marvelous job reading this. I don't know how you've gotten through it so far. You should see the coding and the strange constructs, but no, you're doing great. Keep it up. Go ahead.
Okay, remember, placebo hasn't been saline for two or three anymore. It has been another jab, according to Pfizer's own docs, documents, tetanus and meningococcus. So that's why even you would show up symptoms after your vaccine. You have a chance to have had a placebo. Tetanus and meningococcus has lots of bad side effects, but not like the mRNA jabs. You can always ask your parents to take spike protein antibody tests or antibodies. They have a different code for the natural one and for the vaccine. Yeah, the test can distinguish if you've had the vaccine or the actual infection. Mm-hmm. If the vaccine spike is high, ask them to check their hearts, D-dimer, troponin, and ultrasound. This vaccine damage doesn't show up always on an EKG, especially if you didn't go ASAP from vaccine heart issues.
Well,
that was torturous.
No, you did great. That was a tough one. That's why I gave it to you. No, just kidding. I don't read them in advance. No, we just kind of go through it all together here, first time. All right, here's another one. I hear ya, Zeebo. Zeebo. This crap has caused a huge division between me and everyone, including my husband, for over 20 years. I was able to convince him to not take the death shot, but I'm still a crazy conspiracy theorist to him. Most everyone I know has taken them. I had lunch with three jabbed friends, and now I'm paying for it big time. Don't give up on finding like-minded friends. Sounds like you are young, handsome, talented, and have a bright future. If you have the money, a personal AER shield has helped some people. I try to sit by an open window when visiting my family. Well, how about staying the hell out of the house? Don't go. People, you've got to not be afraid. Don't fear.
Well, the circumstances are going to force that at some point.
Correct. That's true. Yep. Well, the family members, she's sick, he's sick, they're sick. I've got to go over and help them. They can't afford to have, you know, home nursing, whatever.
Right.
So it's full face masks with a P100 filter. Okay? You might want to get one pretty soon and put it away, because those days are in all likelihood coming. All right, here's one more. Did I finish that last one?
Yes, you did.
Or did it finish me? Let's see.
Yes, it did. All right, next one.
Which one am I on? I did Zeebo.
Yes,
I'm on number three there.
Okay.
All right. Hi, I still can't get what exactly happens. There are studies that prove that the vax spike is found inside unjabbed blood. See, he's starting to figure it out. It can be distinguished to be specifically from the jab. Who have issues and contact with jabbed people? So there's a transference here that has been able to be identified as coming directly from the jabbed into the unjabbed. I wish to warn you that I, not jabbed, personally get shedding symptoms when my mom, not jabbed, meets jabbed people and after gets close to me. We agreed that we wait 3 days before we stay in the same room. She doesn't identify symptoms on her, even if she tells non-specific things but doesn't connect the dots. Anyway, she couldn't deny mine since I have had too close periods and bleedings. I am telling you because I didn't understand the connection for a pretty long time. I must say I am afraid that those who don't notice problems are just unaware, but sadly not safe. This is my personal opinion, experience, and interpretation.
Continuing, I agree that this secondhand shedding is dangerous for everyone, even if they don't recognize symptoms. My husband works with the public every day, and when he would come home, I would get sick. Now he comes in and strips his clothes off in the laundry room, puts his clothes in a sealed tote, then showers, puts on clean clothes, and then he can come into the rest of the house and I am fine. Whatever this shedding is, it does stick to clothing and to the hair. We tried just having him change clothes, but he actually had to shower and wash his hair. It turns out he likes showering after work now because he can sleep longer in the morning.
Wow. All right.
It is a sticky protein.
You walk into... Amazing. They knew what they were doing. You walk into a store, you take every precaution, it's all over your clothes, potentially. And your hair.
Yeah.
And your beard, or your mustache.
Yeah.
Et cetera.
Yep.
Okay, I think this is the next one. No, I think we read this one. What's the next one? Number four? No, number five. It could be the sensitivity to aldehydes. And we want to say that we were, I think, at the forefront of trying to present aldehydes as a critical factor for this. It could be the sensitivity to aldehydes, for it varies from person to person and is genetic. I get rashes, brain fog, tiredness, headache, neurological issues, muscle cramps that may last several days from small amounts of alcohol, Nicorette, nightshade vegetables, anything with vinegar, canned tuna, smoked fish, yogurt, cheese, processed milk, apples, the list goes on. My grandfather was the same. I am 48 and still a baby mouth. I also get severe shedding symptoms around the vaxxed. I'm not quite sure what that was all about, but I read it. Onward.
Onward. Okay. Another person says, I recently got another round of shedding sickness from being out shopping. Itchy throat, headache, congestion, cough. From time to time, some things smell like they are burning. Trying to figure out if it is related to the shedding and or the 5G. When I smell it, I get slight dizzy like I'm on a boat. Anyone else having this symptom? And of course, it's radiation poisoning.
I see who wrote that, and I would, yeah. You're headed into dangerous territory. You don't have to finish this one. Oh, whatever. Go ahead.
Let's see. I noticed 15 minutes after being around jabbed in a church basement that my eyes watered. I don't know what that word is. Okay, and burned. My nose plugged up and immediate headache. Wow, that was odd and quick. Are those symptoms of being around shedding, do you think? Yes, that can be the aldehydes, formaldehyde. Formaldehyde will produce a burning sensation in the mucous membranes or the eyes. Your eyes might start tearing. Could get a headache. You could be dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to smell it. It can produce these toxic effects below the odor threshold.
Okay, response to that. Yes, that is definitely shedding symptoms from the vaxxed. I also think it is graphene. I believe there is graphene exposure from the chemtrails. Well, we'd rather not go into the graphene thing. It's a canard. Most building ventilation systems are not that good, and I think the graphene is being pulled inside through the heating cooling system, which is also making us sick. Now, discount that, dear friends. It's not the graphene oxide. There isn't any to speak of.
No. Nope.
All right, we got time for this one last one, I think.
I think it's actually a duplicate. We've read that.
Oh, okay. All right,
On to number nine.
That's the last one, then.
All right. Well, to all of that, someone says, I would suggest that your fear of this is adding to your perceived symptoms and reactions. Well.
Okay, let's jump into sick dogs from shedding. We've got three.
Okay.
Dogs and pancreatitis. My parents are unvaxxed. And they have healthy pincer, no medications, nothing, last jabs years ago. These are doggy jabs, normal veterinarian doggy jabs. A few days ago, my parents went to visit their jab friend's house, and they all got strong symptoms. The dog was with them, and he started to look like he was breathing more heavily, like what happens to us humans due to shedding. So my parents left because of the symptoms. This morning, the dog woke up shaking and could not move. They took the dog to the vet and got diagnosed as a dog having pancreatitis. What the hell? My parents were for the vet. That how it's... then the vet nurse said it had been lately. Lots of dogs with pancreatitis have been in the practice. Can this be due to the shedding? A few days ago, my parents were there maybe a few hours. They don't have much contact with the jabbed, and this was the first time when that dog was so long with jabbed people. I pray the dog can make it. I rescued that dog when it was a puppy from here in the Canary Islands. Wow. I found him at a bin, a trash bin, and I brought it to Finland to live with my parents, and I am so scared he is going to die on this. The vet said the dog has all another blood levels. The vet's blood levels are all perfect like a young dog. Only the pancreatitis issue is a problem. I have never heard of a dog with pancreatitis. What do you think? Can this be due to shedding? The dog has never had any health issues, and we stopped jabbing him with normal veterinarian shots years ago. I am so shocked. Go ahead.
Someone says, my dog, a toy poodle, last year had similar symptoms after having jabs stay with us. Severe shaking and couldn't move his back legs. Subsequently diagnosed with diabetes. An original poster says, oh my God, so this is shedding. My parents are sure this is due to shedding. That dog eats super pure.
Finish. Go ahead.
Sorry this happened to your four-legged friend. Here's the MMS protocol for animals. It should also clear his diabetes. Someone else says, does the friend live near a 5G tower? Radiation sickness can affect anyone. It has the same symptoms as colds and flu.
Okay, well, that wraps that up. Just go softly and go slowly with 5G claims, graphene oxide claims, things of that nature.
It's taking the attention off of
it's diversion,
the spike and the noxious protein that's being spread.
The
virus and whatever else they have in this thing. The fellow human beings have been weaponized. I hate to say it.
Yeah. And I hate to see dogs and cats. And yes, cats can be sickened as well.
Yep.
So just keep that in mind. And if you have friends coming over and you've got pets and your friends are vaxxed, first of all, I would urge you to find another venue rather than letting them in your house. Find an outdoor venue. And honestly, don't let strangers pet your dog.
Mm.
Don't do it. Get nothing to gain. Nothing. And if the dog gets sick, and we don't know how sensitive our canine friends really are to these things, but apparently they're just as sensitive as we are.
Maybe more.
Maybe more. Not good. Okay, anything you want to add to this? What we're doing here is trying to... We think this thing has moved into the third act, and the third act now is the shedding from the vaxxed to the unvaxxed. And we need to try to concentrate on that to help people summon the courage, quite frankly, to wear that mask if they want to. We're not telling people you have to. Wear that mask. Wear gloves in the store. Get curbside pickup from your store if you can. Then you're going to have to wipe down the groceries when you get home with an alcohol cloth or something. This is not over-the-top overreaction. This is real pragmatic advice on how to stay well from what we are all facing, and that is shedding.
Yeah, I would say that is phase two of the cull.
Maybe
you know, convince the unvaxxed that there's nothing to worry about, that you're being paranoid and fearful, and you know, go live your
life. Remember what they said? Go mix and match.
Mix and mingle.
Have fun.
Mix and mingle.
No problem.
So there is a campaign to encourage people to think that there's nothing being shed. And it quite obviously is.
Quite obviously. Okay, excellent job. Thank you. And talk to you soon.
Okay, Jeff. Thank you. My pleasure. Good night, everyone.
Good night. And we will be right back. And again, I just want to say, this is not fun to do. But damn it, somebody's got to do it. And for those of you out there who want to know, we're going to do our best all the way from here on out, as we have been, to give you the best information by which you can make the best decisions for yourselves. Be right back with Mitch Henderson. Hang on.